Well, the Big 12 basketball tournament is staying exactly where it belongs. Welcome in. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. We cover the Big 12, and it is great to have you in for another show. So I want to focus for this show on the big news coming out of the Big 12 on Tuesday night. Brett Yormark, the commissioner, announced that the Big 12 would keep the basketball tournament in Kansas City until 2031. And this is absolutely the right move. It's a no-brainer. Kansas City checks off a lot of boxes for the Big 12. It geographically makes sense. They get to own this town, right? Nothing else touches the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. And yes, I'm biased when I say that because I live in Kansas City. But I've seen a lot of other tournaments, and none of them come close to the way this town embraces this conference tournament. And a part of me wondered whether or not Brett Yormark would come to this obvious conclusion. But this is what makes Brett Yormark the best commissioner in college sports right now. Not only is he innovative, not only does he have great ideas, but he clearly is willing to listen. Listen, Brett Yormark's a New York City guy, right? Brett Yormark wants a footprint in New York City. I'm not sure if you saw this on Tuesday night, but in Times Square, the Big 12 Women's Basketball Championship was playing on one of the Jumbotrons. That's pretty cool. That being said, you got to admit what this conference is. And right now, it's still it's basically almost a coast-to-coast conference, but it does have a heavy emphasis in the heartland. You see what I did there. And Brett Yormark, for a guy who comes from the Brooklyn Nets, who comes from New York City, who takes over this conference, who probably in his dream scenario when he took this job wanted to move this tournament to either New York, LA, Vegas, realized through firsthand experience to his credit and through listening to the right people that he's got a damn good thing going in Kansas City. And it makes absolutely no sense to get rid of that right now or anytime soon. So this was the absolute spot-on move for Brett Yormark, a great move for the Big 12. It makes all the sense in the world to keep this thing in Kansas City. And if you haven't been, you can't judge. You can't be critical. You can't mock. The criticism I always hear about this tournament in Kansas City is, well, it's basically a home game for KU. Well, yes, in part, KU fans obviously show up in a big way. But here's the thing. No one ever complains about Kansas State fans at the Big 12 tournament, right? Why is that? Well, because Kansas State does not produce in the Big 12 tournament the way KU does. I'm not knocking K-State when I say that. That's just a fact, right? There are two fan bases that get complained about a lot regarding the Big 12 tournament. It's KU and it's Iowa State. Both of those programs have been very good historically in this league. And they do well in this tournament, and they travel very well. So you look at that, and you say to yourself, okay, maybe it's all those things, along with the fact that, yes, proximity is more convenient than it is for other schools. But it doesn't make any sense to start moving it just because KU fans show up to watch their team. That's not fair. That's ridiculous. So this makes sense. Rather than bounce this thing around to go to Oklahoma City one year or Dallas one year or Vegas one year where you're one of six conference tournaments or Denver one year or Phoenix or Orlando or whatever, Atlanta, have it in a place that embraces you, that loves you, that knows your format and knows your model. And this city does that. Starting with sports commissioner Kathy Nelson. She runs the sports commission in Kansas City. She's not a household name to the average Big 12 fan. I just know her being here in town, but she's the one who's, you know, been very instrumental in getting the World Cup to Kansas City in 26. A lot of the different events, NCAA wrestling matches, you know, Sweet 16, Elite Eight games last year, all those things she has played a major role in. And she is one of the most important ambassadors that this city has. And she was on the podium on Tuesday night with Brett Yormark, with the mayor of Kansas City, Quentin Lucas, and they were able to solidify this deal and keep this thing in Kansas City. And it's a perfect fit for everybody. Going down to Texas right now doesn't make a lot of sense. You're losing the biggest brand in Texas. And okay, we've got Houston, and I love you guys in Houston, but you know as well as I do, it doesn't make a lot of sense to go down to Texas because of the University of Houston. That is not a knock, not an insult to Texas. It's just a fact. Where else are you going to go with the new teams? Salt Lake City for BYU? Cincinnati? Columbus? Cleveland? Orlando? What are you going to do? The four new teams. Where are you going? Phoenix? Denver? Go with what you've got, what you know. And frankly, it does not get much more centrally located. What I'll knock Kansas City for is that if you're coming in from out of town, you may have to take a connecting flight. You may not get directs. You will from basically most major Texas. I mean, you will from Houston. You will from Dallas. You will from Austin. You may not from places like Salt Lake City. You will from Phoenix. You will from Denver. You will from Des Moines, Chicago, Cincinnati, probably not. You're going to have to get a connecting or just drive. So it will be tougher for some than others. But all in all, it is a geographical fit. It is a fit for the brand. And you get to own this town for a week. And there's nowhere else that Brett Yormark is going to take this thing where he can own the town. It ain't happening in New York. It ain't happening in Vegas. LA, anywhere else he would want to go. Even Dallas. He's not owning Dallas like he is Kansas City. Local media is all over it. No one's touching him. And it was a very smart play by Brett Yormark. And it shows to me how much he has grown in this role and how much he has been willing to maybe change his blueprint from what he thought it was going to be when he took this job, what, a year and a half ago now. So it's a big deal. And speaking of getting out of Texas, you know, frankly, and this won't happen, but the Big 12 should move its entire operation up to Kansas City. It used to be the Big 12 headquarters in the early days were in Overland Park, Kansas. And I forget when exactly they moved down to Arlington, but they did at some point. But without OU in Texas being down that way, it's not really as much of that Texas-Oklahoma brand as it really is nationwide. Now, the good thing about Dallas, I'll give it, you know, flying in and out of there for meetings is much easier than Kansas City. So this is not happening. But divesting yourself from Texas on certain things is not the worst idea. And by the way, the Big 12 did do that this week as well, not just with the tournament basketball, but the Big 12 is moving women's soccer from Round Rock, Texas, outside of Austin, to Kansas City for the next couple of years. So that event is going to be moving up as well. That was part of the announcement on Tuesday. And this is not a surprise. I mean, having any Big 12 events in Round Rock right outside of Austin, why the heck would you do that? I mean, so why would you waste your time doing anything in Austin, Texas, if you're the Big 12? I do nothing but give that city the double middle finger. It's whacked out anyway. Screw them. All right, come up to KC. We've got this brand new women's soccer stadium for the KC Current that's opening up here in the next couple of weeks. And that's exactly where this is going to take place. So it's good. It makes sense for the Big 12. And I'm excited for this league to start moving some things around. Now, if they want to do other things in other parts of the Big 12 footprint, sign me up. But certainly anything you've got in Austin, get it out. Oklahoma City is different. The Big 12 softball tournament is still down there. I don't know if the Big 12 has announced that that is changing anytime soon. I hope it stays. That state loves its softball. And even though OU is gone, having Oklahoma State there, which is probably going to be the best softball program in the conference when OU leaves and Texas leaves, I'm fine with that. They've got diehard softball fans down there. It's centrally located enough. Softball is more of kind of a Southern Big 12 sport, for lack of a better word. The Texas teams are into it. You know, Baylor is into it. So leave it in that part of the region. I'm okay with that. But start looking at things. If you Brett Yormark, let's go on and see what you're saying right now on the show. I'm Pete Mundo. We are HeartlandCollegeSports.com. We cover the Big 12 Conference. And it is great to be here with you as we roll through another edition of the show. This is from DF Aust on YouTube. Pete, as a Big 12 fan living in Utah, I have no problem with the basketball tournament staying in Kansas City. Attaboy. Now, you didn't say you were a Utah fan, because I know Utah fans are kind of butthurt by this whole thing. I don't know why. It seems completely ludicrous to me that Utah fans will be upset, because as far as I can tell, Utah fans don't go to basketball games anyway. But it's something that apparently if you go on Twitter, or now X, you'll notice a lot of chirpy Utah fans when it comes to the Big 12 basketball tournament staying in KC. I'm just going to say this to Utah fans. Come here in 25. Feel it out yourself. Enjoy it yourself. Let's do it together and let's talk about this. And then come back and tell me it's not a great experience and you had a great time. If you still want to do Vegas, fine. But at that point, you're just going to be wrong. All right? At that point, you're just going to be wrong, and that's going to be that. So we'll move on from there. Meantime, we do know, as we look at the Big 12 basketball scene right now, that Josh Eilert is out. The West Virginia head coach, who was always, sadly, a dead man walking, is done with the Mountaineers. And West Virginia has announced a national coaching search after a 9-20 season under Josh Eilert. So none of that's surprising. The season ended the way we thought it was going to for the West Virginia Mountaineers. And now the question is, where do they go and who do they hire? And there's a lot of names that are getting talked about out there, right? I mean, you look at the coaching candidates, and there are names usually and mostly from the mid-level, mid-majors that come up. There are guys like Dustin Kearns at Appalachian State. Andy Kennedy at UAB gets some love. Other names that keep coming up. Mark, and I apologize if I'm messing up his name, Byington from James Madison. Dusty May, Florida Atlantic. Darian DeVries at Drake. And a guy like Pat Kelsey at College of Charleston. All are getting a lot of attention. Now for me, listen, any of these mid-major guys have potential, but the key for Bob Huggins at West Virginia, and the one thing that worked for him, is of course he had the ties going back to, you know, 50 years to this program. So that made it very unique. So you got to find somebody who's not afraid to replace somebody like a Bob Huggins, somebody who has the juice. And I don't mean they have to be a household name, but when you interview them, they've got to have the backbone. They've got to have the confidence. They have to have won enough to not be intimidated by replacing a guy like Bob Huggins, because that's really who they're replacing. Nobody in 10 years is going to remember Josh Eilert, and that's just a fact. They're going to think of this as the replacement for Bob Huggins. So, and that's a challenge. You know, you got to find, if you're West Virginia basketball, you have to find your version of Chris Klieman at Kansas State. A guy who's won big, is not intimidated by who he's replacing, is not intimidated by the turmoil that took place before he got there, and has the confidence to walk in day one, own that program, and own that room. And I'm not here to say any of the guys that I just listed that are rumored to be interested in the job necessarily have that. I don't watch a lot of mid-major college basketball, but if you're interviewing for this job, if you're the university, that's exactly what you've got to look for. Someone who's got that kind of a background and pedigree, who will not be intimidated by who they are replacing. And that is harder to find than you think. And someone that this fan base is really going to embrace. Because in basketball, I mean, you can turn things around real fast. With the transfer portal, with NIL, I mean, every year's a free-for-all. That's its own set of problems. But all in all, it's one of those things that you got to look at and you got to say, okay, excuse me, who's the guy who best fits here? And who can handle what this job really is? Now, I want to spend a few minutes as well on what happened on Capitol Hill this week, if you haven't seen that. So Nick Saban went to Capitol Hill, and he basically lobbied on behalf of college football, name, image, likeness. And, you know, he said some things that bothered a lot of people. And if you haven't heard the clip, what Nick Saban said is that college sports no longer exist. He said, all these things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college sports. It was always about developing players. It was always about helping people be more successful in life. He ended by telling the story about how he and his wife had this conversation before he retired, where basically she said, why are we doing this? The kids want to get paid. They're not interested in anything else. You've done enough. You're 72. Hang them up. And Nick Saban said, all right. So like many of us, he's smart and he listened to his wife. And a lot of people are knocking Nick Saban for what he said, basically saying, dude, you got a house in Palm Beach. You've made tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. It ain't your place to be upset because the kids are getting paid. And by the way, I agree with that sentiment, but I think what Nick Saban was going for, and where I will give him the benefit of the doubt here, is what I think Nick Saban was really doing was saying there needs to be guardrails. It can't just be about money. It can't be exclusively about money. And if it's going to be about money, then you've got to set up guardrails to say, okay, let's sign contracts. You can't have guys walking into a program for a year, leaving, going to a rival the next year because they offered another $100,000. That's insane. I can't do that, you know, in my day job, hosting a radio show in Kansas City. Imagine if I just went across town after 6 months of working where I work at KCMO Talk Radio, 95.7 FM. And then after 6 months there, I got a better deal with KCMO. I went back to KCMO. I mean, that's nuts. And I'm a free market guy, but you need to have guardrails. And I don't think Nick Saban sold his point well, where he basically made it seem like it was all about the money. And to that, I say, young guys with this kind of talent should be getting paid. You know, a few years ago, I was an anti-pay the players guy. I was like, they're getting a free ride. The education's taken care of. Most of them aren't worth a lot of money. And then I said, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they are. The NIL world has proven, the free market has proven, they're worth more than I originally thought. So I have no issue paying these guys. And frankly, going to class has been a joke for a very long time for big-time college athletes. So let's stop pretending like that matters or they really care about it or the education is meaningful to them. It's not. It's not 1972. So if this is the new world and paying is now part of the game, I'm okay with that. I accept that. But you have to have something better than this system we've currently got because it's not sustainable. By the way, at some point, I think the money's going to dry up. Imagine being a big booster and like you've got all the money in the world, but at the same time, you're paying what? 18, 19-year-old kids to pay to play 12, 13, 14 college football games for your favorite team. And then they leave you high and dry if somebody else offers them a dollar more. Guys that are that rich and gals that are that rich didn't get that rich being suckers. And at some point, they're going to feel like suckers. At some point, their ego is not going to override the screw job that they're getting from the program and from the players who are just looking for a check and nothing more, who don't, in many cases, have an ounce of pride in the name on the front of the jersey. That money is going to dry up. And that's where the guardrails have to be put up for everybody's sake and at least make these young men sign some type of contract where, hey, we'll pay you X, but you give us 2-3 years, whatever it might be. It might be like, you know, doing a lease on a car versus doing buying a car. Maybe if you're the player, you're like, you know what? I'll take less money for 2 years. Or I'll take, how about this? All right. I'll take less years and less money because I want to have my options open in a couple of years. You could sign a 1 year, a 2 year, a 3 year deal. You could basically have a system like that in college sports. And that would not be the worst thing in the world. But you can't have this insanity of opening up the floodgates every single offseason and having nothing to show for it when all is said and done. So Nick Saban was right, but I think his approach and his viral story about, well, you know, everybody just wants to get paid. I don't want to hear that from the 72-year-old guy who's made hundreds of millions of dollars coaching. I don't. If you're 18, 19 years old, you're an adult. You're talented enough to make a lot of money with your skill set. You should be able to make that money. But there also should be some promises on the other end in terms of what the program is getting from you. That's only fair. I'm Pete Mundo. We are HeartlandCollegeSports.com, and it is great to be here as we roll through another show with you. The Big 12 tournament marches on, and we are going to be covering it all week long on the website. Make sure you join our free Heartland College Sports message boards as well, because we are going to have a lot of content on there that you want to be a part of. If you are just joining us on YouTube, hit that thumbs up button right below the video. We appreciate you doing that a lot. It helps us tremendously. And we're going to keep rocking and rolling here. Thanks for being on the podcast as well. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day. Go Big 12. See you later.